This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Passion People podcast. I'm your host, Kritika. Just for today, I'm hijacking this episode from Naga. In today's episode, we talk about privilege and the associated social inclination to do something good. Trekking the Amazon, building a football stadium, and accelerating the change to solar energy with Manan, one of the co-founders of the energy startup, Unergia. This episode is special for a couple of reasons. Firstly, since Manan has the awareness and grace to accept that getting what he got meant that he came from a place of privilege. Secondly, he took that privilege and turned it into a driving force to do good in the world. Finally, the leaps he takes and his journey makes for a wonderful story, one that we hope will inspire and move you to action. Now, before we get on to the show, I'd like to make a quick announcement. As part of O2 Pod Collective, the Passion People podcast, Seth and Faiza from Musafir Stories, Vishnu and Shankar from the Writer and Geek Show, are organizing a podcast convention on the occasion of International Podcasters Day in Bangalore on September 28th. A sprawling event organized in association with Hubhopper. It will feature four panel discussions ranging from industry experts, hosting and distribution platforms, and not to forget your favorite podcasters from around Bangalore. Come by if you would like to know more, are curious about the podcast scene, or just to tell us how much you enjoy the show. The link to RSVP can be found in the show notes below.
Manan, first off, thank you so much for taking time for being on the Passion People podcast. I'm so happy to be talking to you.
I am terribly excited to be talking to you as well. This is one of the things on my bucket list, and I'm so proud to be a part of an illustrious group of people who have been on this podcast already. Thank you so much, Naga.
So this is going to be the first episode after our mid-season break. So, and I'm sure that our listeners are going to enjoy this conversation.
Oh, wow.
Do you want to do like a quick intro for our listeners, Manan, and what you do?
Absolutely. So I was born and brought up in Calcutta for 18 years of my life. And then I went on to study at the University of Warwick, where I was a very confused kid as to, and I didn't know what I wanted to pursue next. So I just decided, instead of doing nothing, I'm going to do every single thing that comes on my plate. And which is why most of my college experiences were very varied. I was volunteering in about four continents. I was deeply passionate about educating children in developing countries. So I raced for two organizations that work in that particular sector. I also trekked through the Amazon rainforest as a part of that challenge.
What?
Yeah. That was
nice.
That was incredible. This was actually in 2016 when I trekked the Amazon rainforest for 1 week. And I spent another week in Rio during the Olympics while I was also at the organization's camp in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was mind-blowing. It changed me in so many ways.
Uh-huh. And what do you do now, Manan?
So right after I graduated from Warwick with a degree in economics. Oh, yeah, I was telling you about what else I did in at University of Warwick. I was also deeply influenced by the topic of economics of happiness, and I was very privileged to give a TEDx talk on it. You guys should check it out. It's called If You Needed 100 Reasons to Be Happy, Money Could Buy 70 of Them. And it really shaped
Okay, we'll leave a link to that in the show notes, so guys, look out for it.
And so after that left a very profound impact on my thought process. I thought that I don't want to be pursuing money. Like, of course, it's a very important fact in my life, but it shouldn't be everything.
Good.
So I graduated from the University of Warwick in 2018, and just a fun fact, I graduated as an outstanding student, and I was actually the first Indian to do that. And then I...
Congratulations.
You, and I was very proud of that. My mom's eyes shone very brightly that day, and it was probably the best feeling I've ever had seeing her eyes.
Awesome.
Yeah, but after that, I decided I'm going to come back to India and, like any other millennial, fight the most important cause that our world faces at this point in time, which is climate change. So right now I run a solar asset management company, which is called Unergia.
Mm-hmm.
And it lets third party invest in rooftop solar projects in urban India. And we've been running for the past 10 months, and I have had the privilege again to be doing this with two very incredible people, one of who is my friend from university, who's Abhishek, and one of my incredible friends from school. His name is Farhan. And we got pre-seed funded 4 months since we started by London School of Economics and Y Combinator Startup School.
Wow. This seems like quite a journey.
Yeah, it was. This is all the rosy parts. There have been multiple breakdowns and crying and hair scratching and troubling my mother, etc., etc.
I'm sure we'll get to that as we talk during the podcast, right? Because it's not just about the good things, it's also about how we faced the difficulties.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But Manan, if I have to put you in a spot and ask you what your passion is, what brings you on the podcast, what would your answer be?
So I think one of the things that I'm most passionate about is the fact that we get one life, and it is extremely important to make a very meaningful and optimal and make your life optimal in terms of experiences. And there's so much white noise in terms of the echo chamber of opinions that we are in, that mm-hmm. it is very easy to get lost in what is expected of us. So I have always been passionate about advocating and living a life which is what people aspire to live. People have always wanted to live, but they somehow get lost in the track of a lot of opinions. That is what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about challenging the conventional wisdom.
Wow, that's amazing. And I'm happy to be talking to you, because that's in a lot of ways one of the major premises of the podcast, right? Because we wanted to showcase individuals who are doing different things in their life with a view to inspire others to follow in their footsteps.
Right. Absolutely. I've said this before as well. One of the best podcasts I've heard on your episode, one of the best episodes I've heard on your podcast is one of, I'm forgetting his name, but he was the one who decided to take a bike ride through,
Rohit.
Yeah.
Rohit Subramanian.
I think one of the most fascinating things he said during his podcast was that he only attempted 40 marks in his exam paper because he didn't want to be a part of the rat race. So he purposely just attempted 40 marks to pass the exam. That's it.
Yep. One of my earlier interviews, right? Like, it was just like I called him up and we met up that evening, and it was an interview in a coffee day on the phone. So I guess, we've all come a long way, because Rohit now is in South America. I think he's somewhere in Bolivia or something, and he's traveling the entire continent. And I'm here talking to you, a few years down the line, podcast still going, going strong or no, I don't know, but podcast still going. So it's good. What would be interesting is, maybe wind back the clock and, take us through those situations that you feel like, you challenged the status quo, and, where you felt that connection to what you're passionate about.
Yeah. So I've always been passionate about trailblazers, people who have paved a path that has never been explored. There is something that has no data behind it, something that mm-hmm. hasn't been done something that hasn't been brought forth to the to humanity. And as you can imagine, the first person that comes to your mind when you talk about such a character is Steve Jobs. He inspired me during the very early days. And one of the episodes in my life where I think I did something against the white noise and against the opinions of the people was during one of my 2-month volunteering trip to South Africa. It was... So I was teaching in South Africa for a couple of months in a black township called Alexandra, which was rife with drug abuse, teenage pregnancy. There were guns which were omnipresent during... Can you imagine? There were 15-year-old kids who were carrying guns to school. And just a week before I arrived at the school, a teacher had been shot dead. So this was the kind of conditions that I was teaching in. And I realized during my my excursion to South Africa in that black township was that there was a hell lot of corruption that was happening at the topmost authority level. In spite of my colleagues and my students telling me not to challenge them with regards to that corruption, I decided to rise to that situation. And because they were misappropriating a lot of funds that were meant to for the creation of a school playground for the kids, and they were misappropriating them, and I really wanted to challenge them, and I basically there was a protest that I could design in order to make them know that what they were doing was incorrect. And just 8 weeks after all the white noise and all the opinions against what I was doing, I was able to achieve what was considered to be improbable or impossible. And when that happened, I knew for a fact that, you know, it was like a fairy tale in my life, where I believe that if you want to move mountains and you solely believe in that idea, people will someday join the bandwagon themselves. So that was a point in time when I believed that the power of human will and creating paths which do not exist at all.
Right. But what motivates something like this, Manan? Because the conditions you described were pretty hostile, right? And it takes a lot of courage more than anything else to, you know, be in that place and something next level, to put yourself in a position where you're challenging these people and you're trying to do something groundbreaking, right? So what was going on in your mind at that time when you were, you know, going through this process?
All right. I think broadly, there were three things in my head at that point in time. The first one was the guilt of my privilege. So I have always been aware of my privilege, and I know for a fact that a lot of things that, like the education that I could afford was solely due to my privilege, and I did realize that I need to pay back this social debt that I owe to the world, which is why I decided that during my 3 years of university, I am going to be responsible for educating 300 other children who could have been taught the funds that go into my education. So when I went to South Africa, it was that motivation that was leading me to create a better and more sustainable environment for these kids that I was teaching. Number two was the deep empathy that I developed with these students. What was happening was that I was teaching these students mathematics. And somewhere down the line, I was putting these pair of lenses into my students' head. So I was looking at math problems through this pair of lens. But then I realized that it was very difficult for me to just look at the math problem and ignore everything else that was going on in their lives. And I became so deeply empathetic that it just made me realize that I could have been one of them. But just by the virtue of the fact that I fall into the tail ends of the normal curve of privilege, that's the only thing that's differentiating me and them. And that really shook me up as a person. That really shook me up, shook my self-identity. And that really made me want to be empathetic towards my students and create something that would last with them for a very long time. Because I realized if these students had a playground to play in, football is such a major social glue in South Africa that I knew for a fact that gambling rates in that school would go down, smoking rates in that school would go down, drug consumption in the school would go down, teenage pregnancy in that school would go down. That was my vision. And when the playground was achieved, I did realize a year after the statistics were taken for this, for post the playground creation, the things that I estimated would come down did come down. And that was a major motivation for me. And thirdly was that, again, it was the paid forward and the ripple effect that that was always in my head. I have had brilliant teachers and brilliant mentors, brilliant friends. There is no reason why any child in this world shouldn't be able to afford such great luxuries in their lives. And these were my three motivations behind doing this. And even though these three were my main motivations, I know I'm orchestrating this conversation in a way that I made it happen. I would still like to say that I'm a believer of objectivism, and I believe that everyone is self-interested. I don't mean to self-glorify myself in this particular story. It's just that I did it for my self-interest. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would have carried that guilt of privilege for more years to come. It's lessened now, but it'll always be there.
Right. So you're telling us that you were more. It came from a place of giving back to the society and, you know, wanting to create an impact.
Absolutely.
Because you felt that you had like a cultural debt that you owed.
I do. I mm-hmm. strongly do.
So does that mean you don't feel that anymore?
I strongly do, because I believe that there is a lot of inequality in this world. And though I am a believer of capitalism, I have always believed something that Warren Buffett has said, that, you know, though the Ford created 1,000 cars, they kept 50 cars for themselves, and it's a privilege that they could afford. And I completely believe in that sort of mentality. But for me, who was probably born with, not say 50 Fords, but like probably 5 Fords, I still owe 200 Fords back to the society. And it makes my life so much more purposeful and so much more enriching that this I carry this guilt with me. It's this little albatross around my neck that makes me want to wake up every single day in the morning and make every single second of mine worth striving for a nobler cause, a bigger cause than just my own self-interests. Don't get me wrong. Of course, there are points where I am very selfish and self-motivated. But I try to remind myself what the mission of my life is and what would make my own life more interesting and more enriching.
I see. I relate to a lot of points you said, right? Especially the one where, you know, on inequality and the fact that we all need to contribute to bring fairness to the world. I think I measure my life in a similar way, where I want to know what are the number of lives I've impacted and how I've impacted them. And again, it goes back to doing stuff like the podcast, because that's one of the major reasons we're doing this, because we want people to listen. We want people to make a change in their lives. We don't know how high or low they're in the social pyramid or the financial pyramid, but you know, this is one of the ways of making impact. So I totally relate to whatever it is you're saying, and I hope that, you know, the people who are listening are able to appreciate where we are coming from when we say that we want to help impact the lives of people. We want to impact a lot of people. And what's been very heartening is that a lot of people that I meet of late have been telling me this. They've been telling me that I want to do something that impacts people. I want to do something that, you know, helps people on the ground. And it's refreshing to see people who are actually doing stuff instead of just talking about it.
Absolutely. And I have so much respect for you for doing this podcast, because I remember when I first came across this podcast, it was the exact thing that I was looking for. Like, I'm not even saying this because I'm sitting across you on this particular podcast. Trust me, when I started, the title of the podcast itself is so inviting to people who are trying to make a change. It is so, since you said there are so many people who want to do things, but they don't end up doing things for various reasons, for various constraints. But for somebody who is feeling lonely in their pursuit of this passion, because it is rare, it is always nice to know that there is a podcast like Passion People, where a whole lot of people are talking about their failures and their struggles and their eventual success that makes you inspired to keep on doing what you want to do and even try newer things and as you said, inspire more people to do a lot more things. So again, like, I have such massive respect for this podcast and for you.
Thanks, man. And as always, you're being too nice and too kind to us. So I think, but that's a good segue into my next topic that I wanted to talk to you about, right? So you spoke about, you know, your successes and the things that you've been able to achieve in such a short period of time, but do you want to take a couple of minutes to reflect on the difficult moments and how you dealt with them? Because I remember when we were talking prior to the recording that, you know, during your first couple of years of university, you were struggling a lot with being there and you had some issues. So you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I've had a very difficult, it always begins with your first love, right? It was a heartbreak. And Naga, I must say on this podcast that I am extremely jealous of you that you have, firstly, congratulations on getting married to someone you've loved for the past 9 years. I think it's a luxury, it's a privilege that very, very few people can enjoy. First, big congratulations for it. And I'm very happy that I'm the first person to be on this podcast after you've gotten married. And yeah, that said, I was crazily in love with this one girl of my life when I was 18 years old. And it was such a bad heartbreak when we broke apart. Yeah, it just left me in tatters. I was left in a bad shape. But it was a very nice thing now mm-hmm. that I look back in retrospect, because somehow deep down I have a lot of my insecurities that have no shame. I have a lot of my insecurities that have come from that relationship. And there's always this little voice in my head which tells me that I am mediocre. And that's what gave me this drive to find out the bigger meaning to life, the bigger bigger reasons of my existence, and bigger ways that I can get out of a constant muffling in my head about the mediocrity. That was definitely one of the things that shook me up a lot. And looking back at it, it is still one of the best things that happened to me. And I'm still living the credits of it. Like, since I'm so grateful for this little voice in my head. And the second thing that happened to me was, I was going through quite a lot of mental health issues, which was difficult to deal with. And it was mainly due to the fact that since I was studying in the UK, there was a bit of seasonal depression. And we as Indians take the sun for granted. Whereas in the UK, from September until, let's say, February, it's very difficult to see the sun. And it played a huge impact on my head. But that, again, it's something that I'm so thankful about, because one of my wisest friends, he came up to me one day and he told me that this was, I think, January of 2015, when I was in the middle of this phase. He came up to mm-hmm. me and told me, "Manan, I'm so happy for you that you're going through this phase. And I was a little puzzled, like, what kind of sadist is this guy? But yeah, he said that I'm very happy that you're going through this phase, because no great person or no great thing has ever been done without this little episode in their lives. And I thought about this. That was such a big revelation. And I went through all the people that I've thought about, I am inspired by. And there's always this one particular episode that shakes a person up to its very foundations. And I decided, like I consciously decided at that point in time, right, that I'm going to use this particular episode as the time when I was completely shaken up, so that I don't have to be shaken up in the future. So these were two broad episodes that really, really disturbed me during my short but 23 years of life. I'm sure there's a lot more to come.
I'm sure too, but that makes you, I think, the second youngest guest on our podcast.
Oh, really? Who's the youngest?
Yeah. So the youngest is actually a computer scientist called Moneshwaran. And I think there was a few episodes back. I'll send you the link for it.
Okay.
After we're done recording. So he's like 18.
Cool.
And we spoke about AI and, you know, computer science and quantum computing and all of that stuff. So that was a fun conversation as well. But coming back to you, right? So you looked at these episodes and decided that this is what I'm going to use as a pedestal to get myself up and get better. But at that point of time, where your friends particularly supportive, was it your family that was supportive? How were you able to get yourself out of that situation at that point of time?
Of course, I had fantastic friends. I had absolutely phenomenal friends. Okay, I can't name all of them, but if they listen to this, they'll know who they are, and I love them so much for it. And of course, there's my brother Krish. I had to mention him. Sorry. Yeah. And these were really supportive friends, and I had very supportive family. But there was something in my head that made me egotistical to be talking about this to a lot of people. And I realized that was my fault. If I spoke to this is a message to everyone who will or who has struggled in the past and struggled in the past with mental health issues, they should talk about it. And despite of them being supportive, I realized that it is very important for me to get busy with so many things in the world that I don't have time to think about myself. I think when I started getting very busy, that was the secret to everything in life. Like, I know for a fact that whenever I'm going through a lull, I'm not getting busy enough. So, and I realized that at that point in time, I was in a university which had students from 150 different nationalities. It was so cosmopolitan that I realized that by being depressed or being mentally disturbed, I wasn't taking advantage of this particular environment that I was in. And I woke up to that particular notion and decided to make more friends, chat up to more people, have random conversations on the streets, go to different events that I've never thought that I would go to, take up different activities that I never thought I'd be a part of, take part in different social movements, learn more about them, read more about them. And I think just getting that busy was the secret to breaking out of the monotony of being mentally disturbed. I think Red said this on Shawshank Redemption. It's you either get busy living or you get busy dying. And either way, you've got to get busy.
Absolutely. I think you've really driven the point home there. But I love the way you put it across, right? That, you know, you just started doing work and that's how you got out of your rut, right? And I also really like the way you said that, you know, whenever there was a lull in my life, I just figured that I wasn't busy enough. You know, that these thoughts really resonated with me because I've always identified as someone who's had way too much on their plate all the time. And while I've always had thoughts like, you know, maybe I need to reduce the number of things that I'm doing or increase focus, but I've always been busy. So, you know, it's I'm really enjoying listening to you talk and, you know, explain how you've always kept yourself occupied. But is that one of the reasons why you ended up doing a startup? Because that's a 24/7 job as against like a traditional, going the traditional office job or a corporate job route?
Before I answer that question, I have a few questions to ask you. And like a message to say, like, I think if someone like you stops getting busy enough, the world has to lose. So please keep all the things, please ensure that your plate is always overrunning with a lot of things as they are. And I would love to ask you, who is your biggest inspiration in your life, and is where you get this characteristic of being busy, being super occupied?
I think the most profound influence has been by Leonardo da Vinci, right? Because I remember reading a book, and the book kind of was talking about the principle that he embodied about, you know, always being curious, always being intellectual, always thinking about the greater good, whether it's his weapons that were designed not to work, or, you know, his scriptures that were designed to be read using a mirror and stuff like that. So, you know, and the fact that he was a musician, a sculptor, a painter, an engineer, an artist, a biologist, like, man, that is something that just blew my mind. And just, you know, learning more and more about him gave me the confidence to, you know, be a generalist, right? Because I've always felt that, you know, there are these broad interests that I have, whether it's cooking, talking to people, music, graphic design, finance, you know, charity work, technology, semiconductors, VR, computer science, you name it, right? So, you know, so that way, I think, you know, Da Vinci has been like a huge, huge influence on my life.
Nice. That's a lot of things that were mentioned between the two of you.
The thing is that you also need to be mindful of the fact that are you doing one thing well enough, right? And that's again, one of the efforts that's being done through the podcast, because I recognize the fact that audio is gaining popularity. It makes sense to be getting out people's stories. User-generated content is very is something that people relate to, and nobody wants to listen to someone who's already up there, right? Everyone wants to listen to someone like them. Everyone wants to listen to someone they can relate to, and that's when I thought that, okay, you know what? I can see a trend that's coming. Let's try and see if I can do something in it.
Wow, that makes so much more sense. It adds so much more meaning to this podcast. Yeah, that's a brilliant philosophy to found this podcast on.
Absolutely. And that's why you'll see that there's, like, I don't have any celebrities there, right? It could also be that, A, I've never reached out to celebrities. But the reason I've not reached out to celebrities is because we want the stories of people on the ground. And, you know, some of my upcoming podcast ideas are around, you know, interviewing people who drive Ola cabs or Ubers or Rapido guys or, you know, the garbage guys, because we all want to know how they live their lives and what goes on in their mind, what troubles they have, and, you know, really get those stories out there. But, you know, let's see when that comes to be.
Right. Those are the real celebrities. They just minus the paparazzi, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, sorry to have, you know, being interviewing you on that, but I was particularly curious about it. But getting back to the question that you asked me about the startup. So I was personally not finding a job that I was truly passionate about. I have nothing against, I feel there are so many meaningful jobs out there right now, but I wasn't able to get my hands on any of them. So I decided that, you know, I have some really motivated friends and I have a really great cause that I care about. And I want to be a generalist myself. And what is a better way to be a generalist in there is no better way to be a generalist than to be doing a startup. And because it requires you, like, I've had days when I am literally roaming around the streets of Bombay, where I'm traveling on trains and hustling around in autos to get some print out on some printing shops in order to meet some really big, you know, celebrities of the finance world, and convince them on the idea that we are trying to sell. It's been a very fruitful journey because it humbles you, and it also creates this notion of yourself of, like, as I said, I have this, I feel that, you know, it should be a level playing field, and I was born to an uneven level, to an unlevel playing field. Like, I was born with an advantage. I, for my self-satisfaction, I want to create something in this world where I did it. Like, I can tell people that I did it myself. And I realize all of that is very, very rosy when you think of it. But when you come down to the main battleground, there will be so many days and weeks when you'll feel so confounded by everything that's happening around you. There'll be a storm brewing in your head with no food in your belly, a lot of anxiety. You wake up in the mornings with your heart just thumping on your chest, and you realize what have you gotten yourself into. But that struggle and having two fantastic people to do this with, sharing this struggle with, makes all of it so worth it during the days when something strikes, some client is happy with your work, or some investor is seeing the passion in your eyes and putting their money where your mouth is. That makes you, that there's nothing like it that I've ever felt before in my life. It makes all of it so much worth it, especially when you're fighting for the greatest issue that humanity faces right now. And it makes my life so much more meaningful.
That's amazing, man. That's amazing. Working with startups ourselves, right, we totally understand all of the difficulties that you mentioned and all the ups and downs that it takes. But I guess the only thing that matters at the end of the day is that, you know, the moment you sign that deal or you get that investor on board or get that solar project up and running, and, you know, that brief moment of euphoria is what makes your world go around.
Absolutely. I am literally, like, there are days when, you know, I'm sweating in the heat of Mumbai, but somewhere deep inside, I know that there is this solar panel that I have installed, and with this sun, it's creating this energy that somebody is using. It just makes my life so much more better.
I can imagine. I can totally imagine. Wow. So that's interesting. But, you know, as we come to the far end of the podcast, I think I generally try to end episodes with, like, a couple of standard set of questions or rapid fire. Is there anything that you would prefer?
Standard set or rapid fire? Let's do rapid fire. That sounds a lot more fun and intense.
All right. Okay. So the way the rapid fire works is that I'll say a couple of things and you tell me what's the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So are we going to start?
Let's go.
Okay. Home.
Calcutta.
India.
Passion. Late. Too late.
Impact.
Unogia.
People.
Love.
Y Combinator.
I don't know. I don't want to be... I don't know. The big daddies. I don't... there's so many things I want to say. They're like the genie. They're the genie of the lamp. I'm the Aladdin. I didn't know I was capable of so many things until they just got served on the platter. But yeah, they are the, I mean, I know that's not a rapid fire. I'm so sorry. but I think they're definitely like the genie to my Aladdin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And food?
Food, vada pav. Yeah.
Really? Okay. I'll hold off. Bombay.
Oh, energy. So much energy.
I can relate to that. Nice. I think you did pretty well.
Thank you.
So, no, thank you, Manan. It's been a wonderful conversation, and you know, I've been so happy to have you on the show. And you know, how do you feel being on the Passion People podcast?
I feel, as I said, I am so happy. Like, I still remember the day when I was going through your podcast when I was sitting on one of the trains in Bombay. And I was like, holy shit, uh-huh. Something like this exists. And this, I was extremely happy about the fact that this was a Passion People podcast, which speaks about Indian, like all the interviewees are Indian people. So we can relate to them all the more.
Uh-huh.
And it just opens up your mind to all the other passionate things that people are doing, that it keeps you... It's like a support group, which is one way. Like you just have to listen to them, and you infer your own conclusions from the podcast. So it's a support group. It's a one way support group, and it inspires you to reach greater heights, knowing very well that this one person who interviewed with you on Passion People. He's creating some change at some part of the world without knowing about your existence. And there's always this epicenter, which is you, who's making all of this happen. So I am so grateful to you that you're doing something that touches people, that inspires people, that makes people fall in love with their lives even more, makes them want to do things that they really want to do. And and I'm so happy that we are friends now.
me too, Manan. Thank you so much for being on the show, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning into the show. We appreciate you taking the time out for this. If you liked what you heard, please share this with a few friends and leave a review rating on your favorite podcaster. This will help more people learn about the podcast. Until next time, this is Kritika from the Passion People podcast, wishing you a wonderful week ahead. Stay passionate. Cheers.